the whole Islam is based on Quran. Even Sunnah is based on Quran. So the whole world of Shaitan was making direct attack on Quran. Somehow or the other, Quran, one verse must change. Its meaning must change. It must be forgotten. It must be burned.
So the job now comes, who's going to look after Quran? Again you would have thought, we would have thought, where are the strong warriors? Where are the people whose muscles are bigger than their heads? Strong! To look after such a mighty gift, you don't put it in anyone's hand. Your father only got 20,000, he'll never even show you, forget put it in your hand and say, look after. Because you know, a small boy can look after nothing. But when he came to look after Quran, which is the basis of deen, Allah Ta'ala chose the youngsters. That 14-year-old boy, he is becoming hafiz of Quran. 12-year-old boy, he is the memorizer of Quran. What an announcement was made, وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. And how you will look after this deen? Understand who you are. If you are just ready to take that one step, that Allah, I am also ready, small as I am, then picture the sight, the mighty empires of kufr. And in their mighty empires, they have huge buildings which we call skyscrapers. And in many of these buildings, they're sitting in the different floors. And these shaitani lobbies on the names of Illuminati, Freemasonry, with millions and millions at the disposal. They have come in the limousines, they're going for a mighty meeting upstairs. In that meeting, they're going to discuss what the next plan. When must we attack Gaza? When must we attack this place? 1911 we must create and everyone must jump in immediately. Create ISIS and everyone will jump in. But the next plan now that Islam must be obliterated, destroyed. The news will all say one voice. So they're going to make that meeting upstairs. So much months of planning, years of planning. Now all the big bosses come. All deep in shaitaniyat. From different countries they invited. Now the limousines pull up, now the doors are open. These are the richest of the rich. They are the cream of the crop of the shaitani world. They have the best of clothes, the best of weapons, the best of machinery, the best of technology. Now they are taken in. This is not called 5-star, this is 100-star treatment. Now they are taken in these elevators. Now meeting number 1 is taking place. Meeting number 2 is taking place. They are all sitting there, they are on the table. What a master meeting is taking place. So much of power. And on the outside of that building, you got one small sheikh, one small alim, one small Maulana who's walking past that building. And he looks up to the building. The building is so high. As he looks up, his topi, his head falls out also. So high. They won't even allow him to enter that building. His kurta is not worth what that man's handkerchief is worth. That man got everything in the hundreds. We went past one building in England. So they told us, whatever you buy in this building, you can buy it outside the building. But inside the building, it's about 10 times the price of outside. So I said, then who will ever go buy? He said, that's the amazing thing. When the Arabs come, they don't ever buy outside. They make sure they buy it inside. Just so that when you go back to your country, you say, I bought it from this building. That's all. The same item. But people have so much of wealth to spend. I went into one shop, it's called Ferrari. So I saw a small Ferrari. That man already who saw me never wanted to serve me. Because he understood, hey, Maulana got nothing. Although he never know, he's a non-Muslim, but he just looked at me. So I saw a Ferrari, so I thought I'll buy it for my son. What a nice car. So I thought maybe 100, 200. And it even had, I think, 100 written there or something. So I asked him, how much this is? Like, man, they want to talk to me. So I got shocked, like, how are you acting so funny? So I asked him, so he said, he's written there. So I looked at it, it was 100,000. That car. I was shocked, like, we pay 100,000 for a real car. Just for that car. So I wondered, who will ever buy this? People buy that car. Just because I paid that price, so much of wealth. Now you see that one Maulana looking at that building. Looking up, he can't even see. He got his small bag with him. He got a pen that doesn't work. And he also is coming to settle down in that small town. He said, in this town I need to start one madrasa. So he finds one small building. They got a huge building up. He says, one masjid. He goes in the masjid is leaking. It's a small room. He says, okay, where's the toilet? The toilets are dirty. Clean the toilets with her. Now you go look for one, two students. He'll bring one, two students. He says, let's start Hibs of Quran. What plan they making next door? To destroy the whole world. And he starts reading Quran in his small place. And he got 5 students. But we all know when the revolution takes place, 100 years later, you will find that that whole building of kufr no longer exists. But that small masjid of that small Maulana has become a great Darul Uloom. And they are sending students in the whole world. It's impossible to believe, but it's happening. When we went to England, England has gone through a revolution. It was not long ago that one alim was sent from India. Hazrat Maulana Zakaria Rahimullah, who wrote Fazail-e Amal and so many kitabs on Ahadith. He had 2 good students, so he sent one student to Zambia, and he sent this Maulana Yusuf Mutara to England. Some Muslims were there, he said, go make some khidmat, go do some work of deen. So in England, sometimes the Isha Salah is about 11:30 at night. So normally at that time, everyone is fast asleep. But you're the imam of the masjid, so you're the only man walking. And it's dangerous. So the one imam who was brought at that time, another imam, not Maulana Yusuf, they say he used to walk 11:30, 12 o'clock at night going for salah. There was no one in the masjid. The muazzin might be there, or he would be the muazzin. He would give the adhan and he would be the imam. 1-2 people might come, everybody else is sleeping. In such a condition that Maulana Yusuf Mutara reaches. Now he so start a madrasa. He was teaching hadith kitabs in India. And anyone who knows ilm, if you ever get the chance to teach Bukhari and Muslim, Tirmidhi, Tarjuma of Quran, and now you are told, now go and teach Alif, 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 it's not the same. What you enjoying there, you're speaking about this narrator, that narrator, you're speaking about this great man and what happened in Islam, and now you're looking for one boy to teach him how to read Ba, Ta, and that boy is not interested. But even that, the children were not coming. So this Maulana Yusuf writes back to his sheikh in India, Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Maulana Zakaria Rahimullah, that if I have to stay here a couple of more years, my entire ability to teach hadith will be gone. I'll forget all my knowledge. Because there's no one to teach here. So he says, give me permission to please come back. So amazing, this is when Allah Ta'ala said, وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Remember which country he is in. If you heard of the British Empire, today you are all in America, like superpower. But America only superpower for about 70 years. Britain had it for about 300 years. That is why they created such an empire in the world that the sentence was made that the sun does not set on the British Empire. What it means is, when the sun rises in the east, then it starts moving. Wherever it's moving, Britain was also in control of that land. And then the sun is coming here, day is already becoming night time, but here it's becoming day. Britain was in control of here, meaning from the one east to the west, north to the south, some land, Britain was in control. What a superpower they were. With what might. But wherever Britain went, they went with one object, because they were a shaitani power. Their object was whatever deen you will find. Britain went to India. At that time, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh was one. There were many ulama in India because Islam had been in India for already over hundreds of years. Britain entered India. They looked at the entire India. They worked out how to destroy Islam. A time came with the madaris which were in Delhi. When you hear of Shah Waliullah Muhaddith Dehlawi, Delhi was like an institute of knowledge. But when Britain finished with India, in Delhi there was not one madrasa standing. People say, I made a journey, and at every tree at a distance of about 500, there was another alim hanging. So you go kilometers and kilometers and you see alim hanging, alim hanging, alim hanging. Ulama were taken in sacks. In sacks they would throw them in the waters in the river, and then they would start shooting from behind. Either he would drown because of the water, or he would die because of the bullets. Ulama were taken and fires were made. And they were told, enter the fire, enter the fire. What you heard about in the past, ummah, it all happened. They went out of their way, these were only the recorded ones. What was not recorded was even worse. the target was Islam. What an effort they made to wipe out Islam in the world. In that same Britain now, center of Britain is London. United Kingdom was big, now Britain, in that Britain. Allah tabarak ta'ala sends this alim, Yusuf Mutara. He sends Rakib Patel, he sends many others. They look at the scenes of Britain. They say, Islam will never come alive in this land. This is the land that went to destroy Islam in the world. So he writes to his sheikh and he says, give me permission to come back home. So the sheikh writes back to him that you make sabr where you are. Be patient. And he says, you're writing that you want to teach hadith. Inshallah, one day you will teach hadith where you're sitting. So he says, when I read this letter, I shake my head. And I say, my sheikh in India, he doesn't know what Britain is. He never saw Britain. He only saw India. In India, you got Muslim students, you got Muslim families. Someone will become an alim. But in Britain, there's no thought of becoming an alim. You can't find a boy in the maktab. It's dark. So he said, I want to write back to my sheikh and tell him, you don't understand what India is, but in respect, I just keep quiet. And I'm crying. But I wanted permission to go back home. He never gave me permission. But Allah tabarak ta'ala gave divine promise. And we all got that promise. When you are young, you might think, let me enjoy life. But then your life will just go. Not a world to enjoy lovely cars, lovely clothing. Allah has blessed you people with knowledge. If you make that one step, you will be the next bisaliheen. That Allah will suffice the ummah with the pious. You will be the pious. So Hazrat Muhammad Yusuf Mutara, now he writes in his book. He says, I remember the time when I cried when I read the first letter. Where he told me, you just stay in England, don't come back home. And he says, then the next time I remember I was at the airport. It was within another 10 years. I was at the airport waiting for who? I was waiting for my sheikh to come. As Maulana Muhammad Zakaria was landing, we were waiting to receive him. He said, I cried again. Why? I was receiving him because I had invited him for the khatam, the completion of Al-Bukhari in India, in England. He says, 10 years ago I shook my head and I said, where hadith will ever come to this land? But Allah tabarak ta'ala brought it. And now we were completing Bukhari. That was that time. He's still alive, so it can't be so long ago. When we visited England, in one town they are telling us Bukhari is being completed here. Then Bukhari is being completed here. There's a Darul Ulum around the street there. There's another one here. In one town we found 3 Darul Ulums. And at that time I shook my head and I said, that England that went around the world to destroy Islam, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will bring Islam in you. They had a survey to say the churches are closing. The Muslims are taking the churches and making it into masajid. So at the end of the survey, that survey was about 3 months ago. At the end of the survey, the reporter is saying that if it has to continue at this pace, in 10 years' time, Islam will be the dominant religion in the United Kingdom. How? وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِرُونَ. And now no Nabi is coming. Allah Ta'ala is giving unique protection to the individuals of this ummah, me and you. The only thing is, we have to come out of one lie. And what is that lie? When we were in Madrasa, in the Darul Ulum, it goes in stages. When you're in the first year, you're like new, so you're shy. But in the second year, you want to become like the big sheikh. So what we understood to be a big sheikh means, you must have 2 pens in your pocket, pocket pens. If you got 2 pocket pens and a notebook, you are alim already. That's all. Your watch must be smart. And when you graduate, you must get a smart Samsung phone. So you can always be sending messages. That's all technology. How smart your car will be. How smart your house will be. How smart you will be. So all of that, remember, is going to come and going to go. No one stays handsome forever. No one stays strong forever. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so much he said it when he saw that some people were being inclined towards luxury. He said, Allah, innal badazata minal iman. Loudly he said it, 3 times he said it, that simplicity is from iman. Be simple. Whether your kurta is creased or not creased, it makes no difference to you. Gravy, curry fell on your kurta, you are worried. I'll change tomorrow. We are not like that man who stepped up. Everything must be neat. Everything must be tidy. Everything must be in its place. I put my head back 100 times. I look in the mirror. Is my turban straight or not straight? I take out a comb. Even if I got no hair, I'm combing. We're not like that. We are a nation that has been created to come and go, finished. About the outside, Allah Ta'ala indicated at the beginning, don't bother. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made the indication, don't bother. The only worry, they said, is worry of the inside. If you can put your inside right, وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ وَتُورِ سِينِينَ وَعَاذَ الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. You make a qasam of Quran is to tell you, pay attention to the qasam, you'll understand what's coming after the qasam. وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ is a qasam Allah takes on the fig and the olive. These are two fruits. And every fruit, we might not understand the fig and the olive so well, understand the orange. Look at the orange on the outside, what you see? A peel. Whether the peel is shining or it's not shining. You don't ever trust the orange from the outside. Everyone knows the value of the orange is the inside. The apple on the outside, you bought it from the shop, you start shining it. An apple shines the more you rub. But you know, no matter how much it shines, if inside the apple there's a worm, by shining it, it's not going away. The value of the apple is when you bite it, you look in the apple to see, is there a worm, is it rotten or is it sweet? You got a lovely khajur. We were in the madrasa at one time. A lot of people, they got this bad habit. When they can't sell anything, then they say sadaqah. Give it to the Darul Ulum students. So the only thing we would eat is all people's rotten stuff. So he sent bags and bags, boxes of khajur. How sweet it was looking. It was shining, that date, and big, big ones. And students, they run. So as they were giving out dates, everyone is grabbing more than he can take. So there was one student who had just read the hadith that before eating a date, open the date. But all the others, they already had eaten already lots. And now he opened it and he saw that worm was there. He said, hey, this thing is rotten. Got a worm. Suddenly whatever was gone, was gone. Everyone's face is just looking. The whole thing had to be returned. It was all off. But on the outside, how wonderful. وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونَ Allah Ta'ala is saying, you know these fruits. But when that fruit comes in front of you, the olive, it is the olive oil inside that's valuable, it's not the outside. That outside will be cut and thrown away. The fruit on the outside got no grand look. It's what's in the inside. And if you don't understand fruit, وَطُورِ سِينِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينَ Mountain, you might not understand, but the Jews understood it. That mountain where Musa alayhi salam spoke to Allah, Tabarakallah, what value it got. But it is like the mountains of Switzerland, where you will go skiing down and say, what wonderful mountains, it's not there. It's a mountain that got no beauty at all. But if someone says, let me take you to Mount Tur, you will say, I want to go, why? Because you understand on the outside the mountain got no beauty, but the beauty is on the inside. It gathered the divine power of Allah's speech. And if you don't understand Turi Sinin, then what you will understand, Allah says, وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينَ. This land of Makkah Mukarramah. Ask a person, why are you paying 70,000 to go for Umrah? 100,000 to go for Hajj? When you're going to go there, what you're going to see? Some might say the Kaaba is beautiful. But when you're asking what's the beauty of the Kaaba, he also thinks that the Kaaba in itself got no external beauty. Think of this. Because whether it got its covering which is unique black, or whether they left up the covering which is now wall. In the past it wasn't now what is built. It had a different building. It went through stages. At times the door was old. And the same picture of the Kaaba, you bring it home, you put it up on a frame. When you look at that frame more than 5 minutes, you won't look at it. But when you are in front of the Kaaba, you will look, and you will look, and it's your last day, and you have to go away, so you'll walk, then you'll turn around, look again. Then you will cry, then you will make dua, oh Allah, bring me back here. Even if I have to spend another 100,000 just to see the Kaaba. So someone will say, I took a picture of it, you can see it now at home. You will say, the beauty that I'm seeing now, and what you will get the outside picture. There is something inside this Kaaba. It is that beauty that has made me fall in love. وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينَ. And if you're young, you will understand it with a girl. Before getting married, everyone's worried about the face. Our Honorable Sheikh says, a person gets married, it's in Urdu, but you'll understand. He asks the boy, what you want? Nabi Sallallahu said, تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعِينَ. A girl will be married for different reasons. At the ending, he said, فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينَ. Choose a woman of akhlaq and character. Because you're going to learn with her. But what we choose a woman who got style, who got spice, who's hot. I saw her in the school, how she walks. My eyes move this way, that way. She walks this way, that way. So our Sheikh says, you want lambi, lambi. Lambi means tall. And then patri, patri means ten, ten. So you want tall, and you want ten. And then you want white, dori, dori. That's all you want. But tell me your wife, when you get married to her, if you're going to believe I married you smart, long, thin, after the first night with her, the next thing you're going to look for is her character. If that girl is rotten on the inside, and it's like she's the shining apple, but when you bit it, you saw the worm. She has to be the mother of your child. If there's kufr lurking in her, if she doesn't like Islam, you're going to tell your child, read Quran. She's going to say, what are you wasting your time? How are you going to live with that girl? A time will come, her outside will never remain. Many people say, my wife, when I got her, she was like a Coca-Cola bottle. Now Coca-Cola is there, yeah. That's all. But after a couple of years, she gave me 5 children. Now she looks like an oil drum. Oh, it's a small life, how she goes after. But if that character is there, character never disappears. He was told when I got her, she has so much of deen. And today she is a waliya in my house. He asked his wife, make dua for me, I'm going. That man is faithful to his wife because the inside is there. But you don't worry of the outside. Then to make that revolution in the world, Allah Tabarakallah will choose that man who's worried of his inside. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. So your outside you worry so much, you see some boys got mirrors in their pockets. Women in the past, every time they got a chance in the bathroom to see, am I still beautiful? Oh man, Nabi Sansam taught a dua. He said, when you sneak in the mirror, then don't worry so much of your outside. He said, read Allahumma anta hassanta khalqi. Oh Allah, how wonderful you made my form. وَحَسِّنْ خُلُقِي. Make my inside also. The inside is what matters. Because when you're going to go in the qabr, in the grave, it must not happen that the grave says, you are rotten on the inside, I want to spit you out. Allah says, I already created man in the best of designs. All of you are handsome. Whether you comb your beard or you don't comb your beard. Sometimes my family tells me, you haven't combed your beard for 3 days. So I tell them, so what, comb it now. By combing or never combing, never changed me. No one changed. When I started giving bayan the first time, someone said, what socks are you wearing? I don't want difference. They come in to hear the bayan, not to see my feet. But there's so much of worry. I have to give a program. You see the man putting his turban on, wearing his jacket now. Now how he's going to sit? Where's the chair? Islam doesn't have all this. In Islam is, oh Allah, I know my inside is not good, but you make my inside. It will be on the inside. If that inside is sweet, Allah Ta'ala will use you for the revolution of the world. And if the inside is rotten, ثُمَّ رَدَدَنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ تَعْفِلِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says, no matter how much you look after your outside, you can put creams to make sure you don't get old. You still have to get old. You say, I'm doing gymming now, I got my muscles now, I'm doing this now, I'm doing that. Old age will come. Everyone becomes one day such that if he lifts up one leg, the other leg doesn't want to move. He needs someone to push him forward. His urine doesn't want to come out. If it's coming out, too much is coming out. He can't hear, he can't see. Now he's on the walking stick. Then he's on the bed. Then he becomes such that he needs a napkin to be put on. And thereafter he goes in the grave. Asfal as-safilin comes to everyone. So don't die for your outside form. This is what is known as islah, tazkiyah. That I have to worry, I can't shine my apple so much thinking that if my outside is shining, it means my inside is shining. I have to worry that if my inside is rotten, the outside looks is not going to help me. I will end it on Waqiyah, my brother wrote in one book. So I'll give you an example of what it is. To worry of the outside or not to worry of the outside. See, eczema is a certain skin disease. And Allah Tabarak Tala save us all from all diseases. But when the thing hits a person, I also saw certain people with eczema. It creates such a look on their hands, on their skin, on their faces, that when you see it, you just like turn away. And if he puts his hand, you won't get the eczema if he shakes hands with you. But you'll never want to shake. It feels funny. It's like rough. You got hard skin. So this one boy had eczema. But in the waqiyah that he writes here, there's a lot of lessons. How we must look at others. And there's a lesson that how we have to understand that by Allah, there is no value for our outsides. The value is on the insides. So this boy says, since I was born, I suffered from eczema on my hands and arms. Now I am 22 years of age and I still suffer from it. That's 22 years of suffering. Alhamdulillah, it goes away for a while, but it comes back infected and inflamed. I always looked around me and saw other people's hands and arms in perfect condition. I would go home and cry so much that my tears would fill a bucket. I was bullied so much in secondary school because of my eczema. I was treated like dirt and abused. And especially because of my belief in Islam. One day in class I cried for over an hour. My eyes stung because of the class saying abusive things to me. But my teacher did nothing because he hated my Islam. Since I was small, I always held the Quran each night and begged Almighty Allah for my suffering to end. Even as I write this, my eyes are full of tears. As I grew up, my passion to marry grew. I always wanted to have a child to raise for the mercy of Allah. But my eczema always stopped me from marrying. One day in college, I saw a really beautiful sister from Lebanon. She was in hijab, I wanted to marry her. But because of my eczema, I knew that she will never even bother looking at me. So I took the courage to propose to her, but because of my hands, in a very nice manner, she just excused herself. He said, I feel so alone sometimes. I suffer so much that I cannot go outside unless my sleeves of my shirt cover most of my hands. I cannot make salah in the masjid without worrying that someone is going to look at my hands and not want to shake them or that they will give me a bad look. I cannot eat outside or be with my friends without feeling worried that they are going to see my hands. When I perform wudu with water, my hands sting so much that I cry. After wudu, I perform salah, trying to blot out the pain that I am going through with my hands. I feel no Muslim sister will ever marry me, but I try to keep strong. The only wife I want is a wife of paradise. I wish I was with Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam, as he suffered a lot, and I would not feel alone, as he would be with me worshipping Allah. My only dream now is to work hard and to die only for Allah. Then he writes, please brothers and sisters of Islam, make dua for me, and for all Muslims suffering from illnesses, that they may keep strong. I take this as a blessing from Allah, as Allah tests those whom he really loves. Remember what he's saying. 20 years. The outside got nothing. About 3 years ago, I was sinking into severe depression. I was suffering so much. And everything was just sinking deeper and deeper. I would stay up every night worshipping Allah, begging Him for mercy and help. I really thought that Allah had abandoned me and hated me. But this part that's coming now is going to explain that by Allah, even if the whole world doesn't want to look at you, if in your inside you are pure, then by Allah you got a lot of status. But don't worry too much of the outside. He says, then one summer was a summer I would never forget. For 6 weeks in a row, I had dreams that words would never be able to describe. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah has given mubashirat. Mubashirat means glad tidings comes to the believers who are in difficulty. From Rahman. But when Allah is so happy with the servant, and he finds that servant in difficult condition, and now he needs that courage. And suddenly that person in his dream sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You tell him, Mubarak to you, O my ummati. Make little bit more sabr. Sometimes Allah tawakkala sends him another message. You know how honored you have to feel if ever you have a good dream, that my Allah has so much of consideration for me, that He knows I am suffering. But this world is a world of exam. So my Allah is saying, oh my servant, don't ever think, ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala. Your Allah hasn't left you. Your Allah is not angry with you. But walal akhiratu khayrun laka min al-ula. What you're going to get in the year after is much better than what the whole world can give you. Little sabr. He says, the dreams are too much to mention. But one of the first was when I was standing on a red land. Two Muslim men with large dark beards approached me. They asked me if I wanted to see Jahannam. I said to them, yes. They smiled. And then I followed them. In front of me was something like a huge head with a wide open mouth. I can still picture this in my mind, but I can never really describe it. He went through its mouth, and in it were chambers of black fire. Now he was in Jahannam. It wasn't burning, he was being shown. I saw people lying on their bellies, on beds of spikes, penetrating through their bodies while they were screaming. In another chamber, I saw people being crushed again and again in fire. In another, I saw their lungs being pulled off. After a few more chambers, we left. And then one of the Muslims said to me, is your life as bad as what you saw? So I said, no. So when I woke up, I said, oh Allah, I thank you for the gift of Iman. What's outside, all those people who were burning at top outside, they were the smart, smart girls of Hollywood, who every boy wants to see their picture, wants to see them on the beach, wants to see them when they're giving birth, wants to see who they're marrying. So beautiful, so handsome, how they walk on the catwalk, how they dress. But when you will see that person being burnt in Jahannam, then you will make shukr for Iman. He says, my best dream was of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the dream, I was sitting in a dark room crying. Suddenly, a gold door appeared in front of me. The door said to me, don't cry, why don't you come in? When I went in, I was in a beautiful garden. There were all sorts of flowers, different colored streams of water and honey. I had laughing and talking ahead, so I walked through the garden. And each step I took, the garden became more and more beautiful and different in color. I then saw a really bright gold table with food I had never seen before. There were sweets and different shapes of fruits on it. There were also crystal cups with drinks with at least 100 different shades of color. Sitting around the table were all extremely handsome looking Muslims. I saw one of them holding a staff in his right hand. And I said, this must be Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Another Muslim had long wavy hair with pearls falling from his head, so I assumed it was Nabi Isa alayhi salam. There were at least 100 Muslims around this table. At the head of the table, a Muslim turned around and faced me. He says, MashaAllah, I will never forget his face. His eyes were darker than black pearls. There was a beautiful light shining from his face. As he smiled at me, I felt this warmth and the sweet smelling musk go over my body. He said salam to me and called me by my full name. I asked him, who are you? He said, I am the final messenger of Allah. My name is Muhammad, the son of Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said to me, I want you to sit next to me. Value is what is inside. Whole life he was scared, no one would touch his hand. He said, a gold chair appeared next to him, so I sat there facing him. He took my hand in his hand. It was whole life, no one wanted to shake his hand. So in the dream, Rasulullah said, I'll shake your hand. He took my hand in his hand. It felt so warm and nice. He said something that even made me cry in my sleep. And on this here we will end the lecture. Listen to it well, remember it. There is no value for what's outside. By Allah, it's what's inside. Worry of your tazkiyah. Worry to get a pure heart. To get a heart that is free of jealousy. That is free of the love and the thrill of this world. A heart that only wants Allah. A heart that wants akhirah. A heart that wants to help people around. That if I have to live on the small bed, and I can provide beds for the people around. If I have to eat bread, stale bread, so that I can get others around a little bit. If I can have less so that others can also get a part. A heart that just wants to make others smile. Work for that heart. Because that heart got value by Allah. The outside, how smart your phone is, got no value. How smart your glasses are. How smart in this world we are living. In the past, people would say, I want a jacket with a name. Then they would say, I want shoes with a name. Now they want a handkerchief with the name. The handkerchief is in the pocket. Then they started choosing jockeys with names. So when the underwear had to be a name brand, I would wonder, who's going to see your underwear? No one. Whether you wear no name underwear or you name branded underwear. Is anyone going to ask you, my friend, what you looking after your private part with? Whose underwear? No one's going to ask you. Your private part will never say, I got value today. I'm wearing Nike underwear. It's not going to work. But that man will say, besides Nike, I wear nothing else. Come out of that lie. Be simple. Don't worry of names. Your only worry must be, is there Islam in me? Because that is quality. Everything else is fake. So the last words, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me in my dream. He said, never cry because of the hardships of this life. If you want to cry, cry for the forgiveness of Allah. He said, never cry and feel sad, as Allah will never leave you alone to suffer. He is with the believer who calls his name. He smiles to the believer who repents. He loves the believer who runs to him in struggles. And on the day that is coming, you will see how much of love and comfort he will give to that believer who suffered for him. He said, I closed my eyes, and when I woke up, there were tears all over my face. So we will end on this, inshallah, now Muhammad later will speak. But this message must hit deep in the heart. That wat-tini wal-zaytun, qasam on the fig and the olive. Meaning there is no value for the spiel. There is no value for the outside. No matter how much it shines on the outside, by Allah the value is what is inside. If you got olive oil coming from inside, Mubarak. If you got worms on the inside, the grave will spit you out. Say, I don't want. وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. A day will come where the inside will matter. May Allah tabarakallah make our insides pure. Work for it.